I brought this tool up here because I had great plans for this, but I didn't practice it, so I'm probably not going to do it. You guys know what this is, don't you? A grinder? Yeah, Fuzz, right. I was going to make some sparks up here. But we'll just use my words and maybe make some sparks that way. I thought it fit the theme. Gearing up, that's our theme for this series. Gearing up, and we wanted to convey the message that you and I all are part of a bigger thing. If we use the metaphor of a motorcycle or some kind of a machine, automobile, we are the gears, if you would, that make up the machine. We are all pieces. We're all playing a part in that machine. And so today's message is called Many Parts. Many Parts. And the Bible talks about the metaphor of a body, a physical body. And it's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And if you have a Bible, I invite you to open it and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and follow along with me. I'm going to pretty much camp out in that chapter. The words will be up on the screen, but if you have a Bible or a Bible app, I invite you to follow along right there in your seat. You can follow along in the Bible app if you search for the event in the events module. Search for Kalkaska or KCC Wired, and the notes are right in there. We're gearing up today with a message called Many Parts. And here's how Paul in 1 Corinthians describes this metaphor, starting with verse 12 in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Let's just stop right there. And if we were to develop this a little bit further, we could look at another letter that Paul wrote in the book of Romans, where he talks about the literal parts in a spiritual body, in the church body. In Romans 12, verses 4 through 8, he says pretty similar words. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace God has given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. Now, prophesying, you may be a little confused because a lot of people think, well, that's fortune teller and that's prophetic utterances. But the Greek literally means that this is a forth teller, like a preacher or a pastor would preach from the Bible. I'm forth telling right now. It's not foretelling like a fortune teller would say. So we're talking about sharing the gospel message. It continues and says that if it's serving that is your gift, then serve. If it's teaching that's your gift, then teach. If it's encouraging, then encourage one another. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. And if your gift is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Christians or Christ followers or disciples of Christ, we are baptized in or with, or we could say by, one Spirit. Today, the Bible says in the New Testament that there's one faith, one Lord, and one baptism. So I don't want to confuse you when we start talking about the Spirit, because this is one and the same. The water baptism that we experience here is a baptism into the body of Jesus Christ, wherewith, when, I don't know if I can say it that way, we are filled with the Holy Spirit. How do I know that? I can look at Acts chapter 2, verse 38. And it says that Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins," or forgiveness of your sins, "and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." There's one baptism. It is the water baptism when we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus prophesied this back in John chapter 3. when he spoke with Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee. Nick came to him at night. We call him Nick at night because he was afraid of what the other Pharisees might say, or he was a little bit ashamed, or just wanted to come under the guise of the nightfall. And he said, "I don't really understand this kingdom thing." And Jesus said, "I tell you the truth," in John 3:3, "that no one can enter or see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." Born again. And Nicodemus scratches his head and says, "I don't really understand how an adult person can go back into their mother's stomach." And we're thinking, okay, really? And Jesus says again in verse 5, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of two things, water and the Spirit." Okay, so this baptism involves water and the Spirit. It's one and the same. God is no respecter of persons, Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. It doesn't matter. If you've been baptized with this one baptism that the Bible speaks about in the New Testament, you're given, as this passage says in Corinthians, one Spirit to drink. Okay? One Spirit to drink. And I think this is still along the same lines. If I were to drink a pot of coffee in the morning that I might be known to do, you could say, "I'm full of coffee. I've drank it. I'm full of it." If you drink a liter or two or a gallon of Coca-Cola in the morning, you are full of pop, Coca-Cola. Okay? If we take in the Spirit, if we are baptized and are filled with the Holy Spirit, we are drinking in the Spirit. Let me see if I can make that a little clearer with 1 Corinthians 6:19. 1 Corinthians 6:19 that speaks of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Paul writes there, "Don't you know that your bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you've received from God?" You're not your own, you see. You're a temple. You're a building for the Holy Spirit. Now, if you look back at the Old Testament, you know that Solomon built the first temple. And inside that temple was a holy place. And then beyond the curtain was a holy of holy place. And that's where God was for the Israelite people. And there was the Ark of the Covenant. There were the Ten Commandments. There was a jar of manna and Aaron's rod. That was where God lived, or that's where His presence was in the Old Testament temple. Fast forward to the New Testament, we no longer have a temple. This is not the temple of God. Some people may be confused with that and think these are temples. This is not the temple of God. You are the temple of God. How does God get there? When we are baptized, we are filled with God's presence via the Holy Spirit. God takes up residence in you and me via His Spirit. You are God's temple. You are not your own. And in being God's temple and being filled with the Spirit and living by the Spirit, it only makes sense that we are producing the fruit of the Spirit. And the verses in your bulletin there on your notes, Galatians 5:22-23 says, when you are living by the Spirit, you're filled with the Spirit, this is what happens. You have peace, you have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And there's no law forbidding any of those. So, our first point I've titled, Entering the Body. And that's what I'm starting with, is that in a nutshell, you are entering the body when God's Spirit takes up residence within you. And you become a Christian through through your faith, of course, through the repentance of your sins, and then through water baptism. And then upon recognizing that you are part of Christ's body, you will see that everyone has, number two, various functions within that body. Various functions is point two. 1 Corinthians 12 continues in verse 14 that says, even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many parts. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. In fact, if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, or in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? There'd be no body. As it is, there are many parts, but there's one body. There's a story written by, alluded to in the book Growing Strong in the Seasons of Life by Chuck Swindoll. I'm going to share it with you. It says this: once upon a time, the animals decided that they should do something meaningful to meet the problems of the new world. So they organized a school. They adopted an activity curriculum of running, climbing, swimming, and flying. To make it easier to administer, all the animals took all the subjects. The duck was excellent in swimming. In fact, he was better than his instructor was. However, he made only passing grades in flying and was very poor in running. Since he was so slow in running, he had to drop swimming and stay after school to practice running. This caused his web feet to be badly worn, so he became only average in swimming. But average was quite acceptable, therefore nobody worried about it, except the duck. The rabbit started at the top of his class in running, but developed a nervous twitch in his leg muscles because he had so much makeup work to do in swimming. The squirrel was excellent in climbing, but he encountered constant frustration in flying class because his teacher made him start from the ground up instead of from the treetop down. He developed Charlie horses from overexertion, so he only got a C in climbing and a D in running. The eagle was a problem child. And he was severely disciplined for being a nonconformist. In climbing classes, he beat all the others to the top, but insisted on using his own way of getting there. The moral of this story is that God has created us with various functions, unique gifts, and unique talents. Not one of us is like another, and that's on purpose. We will excel in certain areas, and we're going to struggle in other areas. We want you to serve in the body of Christ in areas where you excel, where you are gifted, where you're talented, where you have a passion. If you're a golfer, you know that you come to the tee and you put the ball on there, and with the club there, you're going to try to hit the golf ball with the head of the club that has the sweet spot. Right in the middle, in the center there, is a sweet spot. And if you make contact with that ball, you're going to hit it straight down the fairway for a long distance. We want you to serve in your sweet spot. I once heard a criticism of the Kalkaska Church of Christ, and I don't remember who it was from, but I'm kind of proud of it. Because the criticism was, if you go to that church, they're going to want you to do something. And I like that criticism. I like that because if we understand that the body of Christ, the church, is not a movie that we go watch, it's not a sporting event that we go sit and cheer on, it's not a show that we're just admiring, but it is actually us who are the church. We will want to be part of it and want to do something. Can you imagine an athlete if he joined a football team and he put on the uniform and he wore the helmet and then he sat on the bench? He didn't participate in the practices. He didn't get on the field. He told his coach, you know, I don't really want to do anything. I just want to sit here, but I want to be part of the team. That's kind of crazy. Can you imagine somebody joining the military and putting on the uniform and having all the gear and saying, well, I want to be in the military, but I don't want to do anything. I don't want to fight for my country. I don't want to have to do any of those exercises that you guys do. Can you imagine a band like our band where the person said, I want to join the band, but I don't want to play an instrument. I don't want to sing. I just want to sit up there in that stool and look pretty. Now, there are bands that have people like that in them, by the way. But for the most part, you get my idea, is that if we're going to be part of a group, a team, we need to do something. Let me illustrate this a little bit more. I've got a splat ball, so you guys watch it because it's going to be coming down here. If I can catch it, it won't damage anybody. Thank you, Andrew. I caught it. All right, this is an eye, and I have these for everybody here. If you'd like one, as you exit, you can pick one up at the information booth. We have some of these, and they do splat, so be careful. And if you puncture them, the liquid will go all over, so be careful. But I'm going to throw this out here and let somebody catch it. And when you catch it, I want you to shout out the name of a body part. Can we do that? All right, ready, everybody? Head, okay? Let's say that your head said to you, I'm not going to work today. I'm not going to function today. You would have no way of thinking, of processing, of reasoning, or doing anything, basically. You would be a headless body. Let's try another one. Andrew, do you have any more up there? You can keep that, Rebecca. Here we go. Almost got you guys. All right, how about way over here? I see a rowdy group right over here. Who caught it? Jackson? Jack? Arm. Okay. What if your arm said today, I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to be part of your body today. I'm just going to hang there and kind of be in the way. I don't know if you've ever had your arm that was numb. You ever have your arm go to sleep? And it's like, what is that appendage there? I don't even recognize that. It's just hanging there. No, we want our arms to be part of our body and to be active and in motion. One more. Oh, boy. Larry, almost gotcha. How about way over in the corner? Tell me a body part. Your foot. Okay, can you imagine if your foot went on vacation and said, I'm not working today. So I guess you'd be going around like this, wouldn't you? Because one foot or both feet, if both feet weren't going to work, then you would not be able to walk anywhere, run anywhere, or whatnot. I think you get the idea that the Bible talks about the body. Every part is vital. Every part is important. And it doesn't matter how small it is. Every part has significance. We're not all the same. And so like the gears in a machine, we fit together. We fit together. And we are active. And we're active because there is, number three, interdependence of the parts. Interdependence of the parts. All right? They come together just like your body depends on each part. 1 Corinthians 12, go back to that chapter with me, and we're going to be in verse 21, where it says that the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are actually indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it. As a member of the body of Christ, we really have no right to say, you know what you do, it's not really important. You clean the bathrooms on Thursday there, that's not really important. You fill the communion cups so we can have communion? That's not really important. What's important is Andy, because he's up here preaching. That's important. or Daryl over here, all the musicians, they're important. You can see them. The scripture says you can't say that. Every piece is important. Every piece is vital. The mindset that some things aren't important really comes from the world. It's really a worldly point of view that some things are really important and other things are not that important, that they don't matter. And Jesus tried in his ministry to turn the tables and to show his followers that what's important to the world is not important in the spiritual kingdom. It's a topsy-turvy kingdom. And one time when the disciples came to a room or a house, traditionally someone would be there, a servant would be there to wash their feet. And no one took the time to take up the basin and wash the disciples' feet. So Jesus did it himself. And it's in John chapter 13. And Jesus washed the disciples' feet. And then he said, I've set an example for you that you should do as I've done for you. Because the least would be great and the great would be least. And I'm here to serve, not as one who will be served, but as a servant. And you should do the same. Another example I'm reminded of is the widow's mite. That offerings were being given and Jesus was observing. And the widow came and she dropped in her mite. And Jesus said, you know that woman there? She gave more than all those other people. She gave the most because she gave all she had to live on. It's a topsy-turvy kingdom. God put parts together. And he put every part where he wants it to be. There was a video advertisement made in 2003 for the 7th generation Honda Accord called the Cog. I don't know if you've seen this or not, but it follows the convention of the Rube Goldberg machine. And that's the type of machine where, like, you set up dominoes in a pattern and you push the first domino and it topples the rest of them. And then the last domino hits some other contraption and then something flies up and then something else happens. Those are called Rube Goldberg machines. And so this commercial was modeled after that. And in the commercial, you're going to see every part was necessary. Every part had a function. And every part was interdependent on the other parts. The 120-second commercial took 4 7-hour days to film. And some parts needed to be placed within 1/16th of an inch of the other part in order for this to work. Humidity, dust, and the room temperature all played a factor in making this ad work. Watch it.
Isn't it nice when things just work?
That's an ironic statement because the engineers and the visionaries for that commercial spent months putting that together, and they tried things that didn't work, and they tried things that did work, and they had to do it again and again and again until finally all their minds together came up with this 2-minute commercial. God has been working on the church. It was in His mind from the beginning of time. And 2,000 years ago, He set it into motion with the disciples, with the apostles originally, with Jesus, His own Son. And today, the church is still propagating. It's still moving forward in a powerful way. It's as strong today as ever. And it's going and moving forward. And you and me get to be a part of that church by the body. We are, number four, in this body together. 1 Corinthians 12:25 and 26. So there should be no division in the Bible, in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. The body of Christ is together, so much so that we feel each other's pain, we feel each other's joy, we can rejoice when those in the body rejoice, we can mourn and suffer with those who mourn and suffer. The early church did so in Acts chapter 12. I'm not going to read it, but verses 1 through 5. King Herod arrested some of the disciples, and he had James, the brother of John, put to death by the sword. And when he saw that his sympathizers were excited about that, he also seized Peter. And after arresting him, he put Peter in prison. And Peter was kept in prison, verse 5. But the church was earnestly praying to God for him. Because as Peter suffered, the church suffered. We are in this together. We are not called to just sit on the sideline and watch the game. We are not called to simply be spectators. We're called to be participants, to put on the uniform, so to speak, and be a player in the game. So my question for you today is, are you a participant or are you a spectator? Are you on the field? Are you sweating? Are you giving all you've got? Are you working? I believe there's only two reasons why you would be expected to not do something in the local church. Number one, and this might apply to you and it's okay, is you're not a part of the church yet. You haven't come to Christ. You haven't been baptized and indwelling and filled with the Holy Spirit. You're not there yet, and that's okay. We would love the opportunity to talk to you about faith in Jesus Christ and what it means to follow Him. It's a big commitment. We take it seriously around here. And after a video you're going to see in a minute, Andy or myself will be over here and gladly talk with you further about that. The second reason that you might not be part of the body currently is because you yourself are hurting or you are broken and you're mending. You may be struggling with sin in your life. You may be fighting some addiction. You may have suffered a loss that makes you currently unable to minister to other people. And that's okay. You need to heal yourself before you can be a healthy part of the functioning body. I've compiled a slideshow of some KCC volunteers, and I apologize up front if you're not in the video. I didn't have good pictures of everybody and all that they did. We do have a lot of volunteers that I'm very pleased with here, and we wanted to showcase just a few of them from the past, you know, five years or so. So you're going to see some people you recognize in here, and it's just a compilation of those who have volunteered in the past here at the Kalkaska Church of Christ. Life seems like an uphill battle, like more than you can handle, but we have a hope that it's real, and there's power that lives inside.
not big enough. Ooh, there's no stopping us. We're feeling.